Hi there. Thanks for joining me, Steve Arterburn, and Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Jill Hubbard for another edition of New Life Live. Come join us, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk to you today.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed for.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys. How are you today?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, too.
Well, I'm hot. It's summer, and I'm in Indianapolis, so that's pretty much it.
Midwest summer is different than West Coast summer. So
yes, it is. But, you know, I like living, going to the lake. I like going to the lake and getting cooled off. I've been a lake man all my life, and so maybe I'll get to do that this afternoon. Anyway, we don't know what lake you're in or what deep hole you're in, but we want to help you get out of it. That's what we're here for, and you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm just wondering if you have a weight problem, if you know that on November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're going to do Lose It for Life, and this is a program that doesn't just help you lose the weight, it helps you lose the baggage that led to the weight, and it is spiritual, it is emotional. There are main sessions on journaling and fitness, and I'll tell you, if you do not like exercise, this is a great place to go because we understand that. There's wonderful stuff on nutrition, and then we have this food plan, this way to count calories called the Healthy 100s. It's the only original idea I've ever had in my life, and essentially, well, I'm not going to tell you. You have to come, but we want you to come and be part of Lose It for Life. That's November 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Last time the three of us were together, I read an email that I just got from Desiree, who had lost 100 pounds, took her 2 years to do it, which is the right way to lose 100 pounds. And we get to see those kind of results every time we do this.
And we talked last time, too, Steve, about the fact that she did that in community.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our addictions and habituations really are fostered and maintained and groomed in isolation.
Yeah.
And when we come out of that and enter into the struggle with other people and talk about it and bring our life into relationship, that's when we have a chance. And that's the cool thing about Desiree's little group,
right?
That they have as friends to be supportive.
That you while know, they gained each other, they lost the weight.
Oh,
right?
That was
beautiful,
nice.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
That's why we had
nice.
You on
that's
the program.
That's why she is on this show. Wow.
They gained each other nice. While they lost the weight. Well, you've got a lot to gain from coming to Lose It for Life, and you've got a lot to lose. It really is an amazing program. I want to encourage you to come. Please do consider it. You can go to the website, newlife.com, and find out all about it. Before we go to the break, I want to mention we've got a matching gift of $100,000, and we need a little bit more before we can utilize that matching gift. If you could help us, summer's always tough, and this is a tough one. So please, if possible, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. When you give, we give you an amazing New Life grocery tote bag. You can't get a New Life grocery tote bag anywhere else. It's attractive, and it's useful, and it's green. It saves, well, it's blue, but it's green because it's helping save resources. We can save several pine trees just by carrying these New Life grocery bags, and someone might even ask you what it's all about, and you can tell them about the radio program. That's our gift to you. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, first thing we do, go to the phones. If you're there, hang on. We'll try to get to your call with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Steve Arterburn right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of a wonderful book, The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep. And Steve Arterburn, the author of a new book called Walking Into Walls. That's the newest one, Walking Into Walls. And this is how 5 different things that block God from working in our lives. And you can get that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But let's go to Lisa in Colorado Springs, Colorado. KGFT is the station. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for my call.
You're welcome.
Good.
How can we help you today?
Well, I just found out, or my husband, I guess, admitted having sexual thought processes. He says he hasn't acted on them, but he struggles with it daily, and we're both Christians, and we have 9 and 10-year-old boys, and I'm wondering what I do with this information now.
What motivated him to tell you?
I had seen once or twice before that he had been on the computer and confronted and actually blocked it, and it was more of, oh, I'm just bored, and it was there, and blah, blah, blah. And so it's not, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of it to know that it's a huge issue, but there was a phone call on the machine, and he's out of town saying, you, for a massage, quote, unquote, to meet at this lady's house.
Now, why would you think that this isn't physical?
What do you mean, physical?
Well, you said, I mean, is he, he's having a sexual relationship with her, right? It's more than just temptation.
This was, I saw on Craigslist something highlighted under massage. And so I, you know.
So what's that all about?
That's what I mean. That's my point. And he says he never acted on it, but he has these urges, so he calls or doesn't do this frequently, he says, and has never acted on it.
Okay. So what's the question for us then?
What I am supposed to do with information now, do I completely protect myself in case he's been lying all this time? I mean, he's home every night. He does stuff with the kids. If he does this on the side, it's like some afternoon thing, and I don't know. He says he loves me, he wants the marriage together, you know, all the stuff he's supposed to say. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it's gone that far and even I should believe him, or if it really is something he says he struggles with daily, but he has never acted on it.
Yeah. Okay. Jill.
Lisa, excuse me. I'm thinking that you don't really need to determine how much or how little right now. The fact that something has come to light, you have information. So now it's important to do something with it. Use this as a signal that the two of you need to get into some marital work together so that you can talk about, you know, what's going on with him, why has this been a secret, what's happening between the two of you, looking at, you know, some of the hurts that each of you brought into the marriage. This is a great opportunity to start to dig in and look at your marriage a little more closely. So you can, right now, you can use this as kind of alert that says, okay, we need to pay more attention to what's been going on. Or you can say, oh, he's not doing it that much, and ignore it, and then it gets bigger down the road.
Right. Right. That
was Alan, you have some thoughts here?
Him. I said, where are you on this scale of struggling? Does struggling mean, you know, you think about it once a month and nothing ever happens and you pray about it and it goes away, because that's what he says, how he deals with it. And I said, or is this something that you're going to admit to me that you physically have been intimate with someone and that this is something I really have to know? You mm-hmm. can't, you know, you have to completely confess it all.
Did he?
No. But okay. We haven't sat down face to face where, but I think he'll lie. I mean, yeah. Don't they always lie about, because he knows mm-hmm. how I feel about adultery. And we've said, you know, I've always said early on in the marriage, that's one thing. There's a lot of things. I mean, I would forgive because I have to as a Christian, but I would not stay in the marriage.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from Milan.
Well,
what
there's,
do you think?
So there's so much at stake, you see. The bar mm-hmm. is really high, and so he has to hide stuff from you.
Right.
So I would have conversations with him probably in a therapist's office if you can't do it yourselves. And I'd ask him, when did this sexual struggle begin? And the answer should be, you know, in late childhood, early adolescence. Mm-hmm. But what did you ever do? Who'd you ever talk to about it? And the answer is probably nobody, nothing. Because as Steve's book indicates, it's every man's battle.
Right.
Now, it is naive for any woman to think that every man does not battle with this. The question
right.
is, where are you at on the struggle scale, and how much victory have you gained over the course of time? Because, you see, with a 9 and 10-year-old boy, if your husband doesn't have a story to tell, he will not talk to those boys about sex at all, nor will he talk to them about their journey of sexual mm-hmm. Control, because the whole world is slanted toward targeting the male's visual stimulation mm-hmm. of his sexuality
right.
and auditory, etc. And I would suggest to you that your husband probably has given you minimalist answers and has minimized. And if you think that he has crossed any lines, I wouldn't hesitate to have him get a blood test and see if he has any sexually transmitted disease. I mean, really rock his boat a little bit and make him come up with some answers for you. And then the very next thing I would do is I'd have him be at an Every Man's Battle workshop where he could have support. And we offer at least two of those a month, right, Steve? Something like that in various locations around the United States?
We're doing once a month, and we have one just coming up in August.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. There are levels of sexual addiction and mm-hmm. sexual mm-hmm. compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And you cross a big line when you go from internet and other things to actually having a person touch you in person. It takes it to a different level. And I really believe this, whether it's this woman or the massage situation or whatever, there's a big problem here. And Lisa has the power, probably right now more than at any other time, to motivate him to get help. And if he's not willing to get help, I think there's your answer right there. If he's only going to try harder, then he's going to fail harder. And it's going to be a mess. And I just, it's hard to believe that there hasn't been something physical given what we've been told.
So, especially if there's phone messages.
Yes, exactly.
That is mm-hmm. really, really hard to try and live in denial with respect to that.
That's another line that's crossed. That person is into your life if they're calling you and leaving messages. They are in your life. And so there's a very, very good chance that it's physical. I hope something that we've said has been helpful. We've got a Wives in the Battle or Women in the Battle workshop coming up. I hope that you can go to that, Lisa. I'll send you the book, and God bless you. And so sorry you're having to go through this. Well, let's go to Mary. Mary's calling from West Bend, Wisconsin. She watches the show on FamilyNet. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Hi there. How's it going?
Really good.
How could we help you today?
Well, can I tell you, I've been married for 34 years,
okay.
7 children, and I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 28, and I'm now 56. And I just ended up going through a divorce April 4th of this year.
Why?
I didn't want to,
what happened?
But... I'm sorry, what?
What happened?
Well, my husband's been a very, he's a workaholic, very addictive. very addictive to cigarettes and drinking and gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never been a woman issue, but let me tell you, it feels, when you're going through it, it feels like another woman.
Sure.
You know, you're always questioning and wondering.
Yeah.
And so now that we're divorced, we have a young child that's 11, Max. He's he was born with Down syndrome. My husband and me, I just want to say, still love each other, and our children are really going towards the Lord through all this. And I'm in an apartment with my 11-year-old, and my husband's living with his brother on a mattress. And my question is, how do I get past the pain that my husband didn't love himself, me, or our children enough to get help so that our family could heal and be restored?
Mm. That is tough. So sorry. Well, Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
Well, you just recently went through this divorce, didn't you?
Yes, but really, I lived with my children for 2 years, like my oldest son, and in a little house me and Max lived in that my son owned that was being sold.
So. Okay, so so now all of a sudden you're sort of displaced, which which I hear that in your voice, and that displacement. You know, when we can have something familiar, we're in the house, we're in one of our kids' houses, we have some protection, some his banner over me is love kind of a place, you know. But when we're displaced and you're alone with your 11-year-old Down syndrome child, all of a sudden the reality comes roaring in like a freight train as to what has really happened. And I would like to suggest that, you know, if you were married 36 years, you're 56, you guys met when you were in your late teens, early 20s, you got married and you were 20 years old, this is all you've ever known. And to have something like this lost is something you're going to grieve about for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a grieving process that will take a long time. And I'm not suggesting that that's a bad thing. I would just say lean into the grief and allow yourself to be there, and kind of like a riptide out here in California, if you fight it, it's not going to work. You have to let yourself kind of go with it until it kind of loses its power, and then swim parallel to the beach and then swim in. Same thing with depression. Same thing with grief and loss. People are afraid of it, and they need to just simply say, I am grieving, I am depressed, I am lost, I am dispossessed, and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm floundering right now.
Right. So
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a day-by-day journey, and I like how you said, my husband didn't love himself enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're not taking it on as, you know, you're not lovable. But that's there's a real sadness there that he didn't love himself, that he didn't take the steps. And not all addicts are willing to take the steps to get help.
Can I tell you something?
Sure, go ahead.
He's reading the Bible, and he said he's born again now, but he stays isolated, you know, and in fact, we passed Max. Like, for 2 years, he didn't see my children. Now he's been starting to see them since the divorce. So he's been taking Max. He has to watch him while I work part-time, you know, at night.
Mm-hmm.
And when we passed Max, we've always had, if I can say anything, is we had sex before marriage, my husband and I always say to kids, I really minister, say, you know what, really withhold that, because our whole marriage, we had that part was, you know what I mean, fine, not weird or anything, but that was the only place that I felt truly loved. But as far as doing things together, being friends, we didn't have that, because we met from broken homes.
Well, you know, it's interesting you use the word friend, because I was just going to tell you that if there's any direction you want to go, it's to befriend him. First.
And I see that direction that God's taking us, and I guess I just wanted to say that he thought when we're passing the, you know, Max, like, I love you, Mary, why did you let this happen? It's a guilt thing, trying to put it on me, and I know in my heart, I have always loved my husband, I'm a one-woman man, I've always preached about staying together, never getting a divorce, but even my pastor was like, you know what, because he just dropped out of life, and me and Max were sitting there with no car, no life. So, you know what? I know God can heal, and I really love you guys. I read your book, Changes That Bring Healing and Boundaries, and I always wanted to go with my husband to your classes. So if you could just pray for him, because he said he's reading the Bible. He always tells kids, I love your mother. I love her. Mm-hmm. I really do want to be with her. but I don't want to go back into the old. I want Jesus to bring the new.
All right.
Wonderful prayer.
Mylon, anything? Jill, any final comments for Mary here as we go to the break?
It is, who is Mary without her husband? Who are you as an individual? And sometimes when we've been married so long, we don't even know who we are as an individual without that person. So when you say I'm a one-woman man and I'm, you know, that sort of describing this great relationship, but yet you did not have an emotional friendship that Steve is talking about and Jill is talking about. So I would just say I would work a lot on who am I, Mary, apart from anybody else, and what is my role in this world and who am I before God?
All right, we're going to go to a break. We'll come back and go to more calls here on New Life Live. NewLife.com is our new website. I hope if you haven't been, you'll give it a try.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're going to go to Kathy, who's been holding quite a while from Columbia, Maryland. Thanks for hanging in there. You listen to WAVA. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you all?
Doing well today.
And good.
How could we help you?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How could we help you?
Our daughter-in-law seems to be keeping our grandson from us and preventing my husband and I from bonding with him during his first year of life. And we would like to know maybe how we should approach the situation since we are first-time grandparents.
So this is your daughter-in-law's first child?
Yes, it is, and it's my oldest son of three, so this is our first grandson, too.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, so is she keeping just the two of you from being involved, or does she seem protective with a lot of people?
She's very protective of a lot of people, whereas she doesn't want anybody. The baby will be one next week. So this has been going on for like the past year since they relocated to back to my son's hometown, about 4 hours from her family. So she's not comfortable leaving the baby with anybody.
Okay.
Except maybe my son sometimes, but wouldn't feel comfortable him bringing the baby over just to visit us when he's alone with the baby.
Okay. So she has kind of this, you know, a lot of moms initially, especially with first children, are very protective and go into kind of the mama bear mode. And have a lot of ideas about child rearing and don't want to be told that they're doing it wrong, and so they kind of really cloister in. Especially, I don't know how she was raised and what issues she has that she brings into being a mom. But it's not an uncommon thing, Kathy, for new moms to kind of have that hypersensitivity and not wanting that baby to be passed around. It sounds a little on the extreme side in that, you know, you are the grandparent. So a lot of times grandparents are in the mix, but not always. And so I would be talking to your daughter-in-law and you know, kind of honoring her as the mother of this child, asking ways in which you can support her and encourage her instead of looking at it as something that she's doing against you, seeing that she's not secure yet in her position as mom. And so she's trying to develop that base.
And, you know, for the first 6 months, I felt like that was, you know, since her mom's not near here and that I don't have daughters, and that I realized they'd only been married, you know, a couple years and they relocated while she was pregnant. You know, she's changed her careers at home now. So I really worked hard at honoring that and trying to keep my distance, but not totally, you know, totally isolating her because I didn't want her to feel like, you know, if she needed anything that I wasn't around. But she's taken that as that we are smothering her. And both my husband and I, when we spoke with her recently just to find out, is there anything that we could do or have we done something, or she seems like she doesn't, you know, something's wrong when she's around us. And she spoke with us and said she felt so smothered that she didn't really need, you know, me to stay in contact with her once a week or every 2 weeks by a text. I went to texting once or every 2 weeks, just, you know, if there's anything you need, I'm off on Tuesday, that's it, you know. And she took that as that we've been, she's so inundated with us, you know, just overwhelming her, which I didn't say anything at the time. But then my husband said to me after the talk together, he said, I was really surprised she felt smothered by us, Kath. I feel like we haven't connected much with Carter at all. So
yeah. Well, she's troubled. Mylon, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think your son has a problem.
Yeah.
See, this is really an issue that he's going to have to address, and he's stuck as a new dad in his first couple of years of marriage. And what is going to happen here is his wife has taken the whole marriage, the whole family, under her direction as to how she's going to run the family, and he's sort of a tag along, sort of hostage to whatever she decides she wants to do.
Now, he is a pleaser. He's kind of a pleaser.
I know. So the question is eventually, and I know I'm not directly answering your question, because eventually your son's going to have to ask, what does he do with a person that is so controlling? Mm-hmm. And Jill alluded to the fact, no, she didn't allude, she said, the first time moms are many times scared or they're insecure.
They get overwhelmed easily.
And they're overwhelmed easily. But odds are some of this idealism probably played itself out before they even had children, to where she perhaps didn't want your son to be near you, or she didn't come to events. And was that true? Did she have anything prior to the baby that indicated she was sort of singling the husband out and keeping him from you?
Yeah, and I tried not to, you know, think that was what was happening, but I found her to be very evasive, very superficial. We couldn't get her to, you know, respond even to, oh, you think you're coming, or so that's true, and they were away from us. But now I don't know if she's holding him hostage. In my son's an adult man, and he's leaving and cleaving, and that's how we raised him, and we're thrilled, and I don't ever want to be, husband, I don't ever want to be in between that. But
well, your request is legitimate, Kathy. Mm-hmm. How can I have access to my grandchild, to my son?
Or should I even care anymore? Because I don't want to pull
care.
Him
yeah.
in. Oh,
of course you should.
It's a family. See, when he moved here.
Kathy, we have to go to a break, Kathy.
Okay.
Steve?
We'll be right back.
We'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And you guys have any further comments?
Yeah, just one more comment.
Okay.
Kathy, I definitely think that this is an overreaction, someone who's reacting to an experience that they've had much earlier in life, a reaction perhaps to either her own smothering mother or feeling like somehow she's got to cloister her family in really close and not let anything bad out there, as if the whole world is bad. So this really is, I think the guys are right, that your son is going to have to step up and help his wife to then reach out into the world, because that is what men do for children as well. Yep. Is at a certain age, this little boy is going to start turning to dad to draw him out, and so he needs to help his wife do that as well.
All right. I hope that that's helpful to you, Kathy. And let me send you a copy of Regret-Free Living. I hope that that will bless you. Let's go over to Amanda from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She listens online. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Hey there. How can we help
you?
How can we help?
I'm 24 years old, and I've been in a relationship with a guy only 6 months older than me. We've been seeing each other for about 7 months, and in May we had to talk about our past relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared with me that he had had sex with at least 4 other girls, and I'm having a really hard time getting over it. I'm very wounded, and I was wondering if I need a new perspective about sex in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just to help heal the wounds.
Okay. Well, we've dealt with this before. Let me ask you this. How does he feel about those experiences?
Extremely remorseful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the first thing that, and I don't think I have a definitive answer, but the first thing you have to do is to be sure that you realized those relationships had nothing to do with you. It was before you. He didn't know you. You weren't in the picture. And that he's remorseful is a great sign that he might have learned his lesson to, you know, that the truth of the Bible applies today as every day. And I wouldn't just write him off, but I do understand your desire to marry someone who has done the same thing for you, who thought about you before they ever met you and saved themselves for you. Mylon, you have daughters. What do you say here?
Well, Amanda, I'm proud of you for retaining your virginity and having a standard that is important to you. I think you said, you know, do I need to set a new perspective? And the perspective that I would give you, because I believe all females are naive as to how men think. They think men think like women do, and they project their own sexual thoughts upon men and assume they think the same way. Ever since that guy was in junior high and high school and college, your boyfriend, all the talk in the locker room and in his whole world has been about, well, are you a virgin? Have you scored yet? Have you, you know, when have you had sex? You haven't had sex. Oh, what's the matter with you? And there's this huge, huge pressure that the average female does not know exists in the male world to, you know, well, you went on a date. Did you have sex? And there's this massive pressure. And so if a boy does not know how to manage this thing called every man's battle, he falls right into it. And he falls into it prior to that with the inability to control his sexual thoughts. And it starts way, way back as an early boy, young boy, into adolescence. Now, just something slightly different than what Steve said, a lot has to do with his attitude about what is his sexuality like now. And he's not just remorseful because he got caught or because he really likes you and doesn't want to lose you. What does he want to do with his sexuality? Because it will be a battle for a lifetime. Oh, by the way, corporate America today in the coffee room still have the same discussions. All you got to do is watch The Office or something like that on TV. They're still having the same discussions. Mm-hmm. You see, the same discussions on the golf course, same discussions in the boardrooms. You see, and that's what you have to find out. Will he be devoted to you more than what is his history? But has he learned from his history, and what's he doing with it?
What do you think about that? What do you think is the answer to that?
I really see him now as wanting to please God and through his actions and through this relationship. So I really believe that he's a different person now, and that he won't fall into the discussions in the office or on the golf course.
That's too naive. I'm sorry. He's got a lifetime to have to deal with every man's battle. It's a battle for a lifetime. And so when you say, I don't think he'll ever do this again, that's too naive. I'm sorry. I have to say.
Well, it could be a setup for you,
Amanda. Could be a setup for you, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it sounds like you have an idealism inside. It won't ever happen
you
again.
You don't want it to ever happen again. And that would be cleaner for you, right? Less wounding? Because now he knows you. Right? You can kind of say, yeah, it hurts that he did this, that he didn't save himself, but he didn't know me. Now, you know, if he did it in the future, obviously you're in relationship with him. That would be, you know, big red flags. Mm-hmm. And that would be more hurtful. But even the thoughts about it.
Jill, Steve, what's the sexual promiscuity rate among teens?
Well, it's...
Hi.
it's over 80%.
This probably.
Amongst Christians.
Yeah, so when we ask Steve, even when we say, I'm going to marry somebody that has had enough forward thinking to think that I'm going to save myself like Amanda has, I just go, well...
Well, and you know, here they've got all that... they've got all that going on, and their brain isn't even at the point where they can be mature enough to often make those kinds of decisions.
I mean, it wasn't until I received Christ that I found out he had a standard for my brain. And that he had a standard for my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get that. I didn't understand that. And I didn't accept the Lord till I was 24 years old.
But we do understand the dilemma here.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I empathize. But the issue is what is reality and how can I negotiate with this young man who sounds like a neat guy and he could very much be a keeper. You see, but if I impose idealism on a keeper, you know, it's going to create too much stress and tension for all of us. Not to say that I should ever tolerate sex with somebody else, but what happens if a thought crosses his mind? You know, yeah. We get how many calls, Steve and Jill, do we get about pornography on this radio show?
Right. Well, I really think the key here is how are you going to talk about this going forward? There needs to be open discussion and constant discussion about your sexuality, your temptations, just who you are as people. Mm-hmm. And this may force you to do that in a way that most couples don't before they're married.
Yeah, okay. not a policing, but an openness, a willingness on his part to share, you know, his struggles.
I'm glad you called.
Sorry. Okay.
No, go ahead. Did you have a final comment?
Well, I think I was just a little confused about something, but maybe I was misunderstanding. Like, you're not saying that he would cheat on me and have sex with somebody else. It's just that he continues to battle with sexual thoughts.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Okay.
Yeah, nor did I.
It's a good thing that he's remorseful, and that's a really good indicator, probably the most important indicator. But he'll always have to deal with temptation and unusual situations and discussions. And that you guys would be talking about this might make it much easier for him to get through that. He doesn't have any greater problem than any other person.
And Amanda, I think, you know, Mylon's pointing out, instead of getting idealistic with it, because if you go to that idealistic place where you say, okay, good, now you'll never do it again, then he's not free to share with you.
Yeah.
Right? So he's opened up, he's been remorseful, so having a more balanced understanding allows him to bring his hurt to you and risk the shame of it.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Right.
Really glad you called. I'm going to send you two. Yeah, go ahead.
Send her Every Man's Battle so she can read the boy's perspective.
I've heard of women reading this.
It's a fabulous book.
Yeah, it is a good book. But
it'll help you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also, I want to send her two books that will help her understand relationship around this area, and that's Every Man's Marriage and Every Woman's Marriage. I mean, she's looking at this boyfriend for the future, and is he qualified for that? And so I want to send those books, and I really think they will benefit you there. All right, this is New Life Live. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. We have a Lose It for Life coming up. Hope you'll join us for that, or one of our New Life weekends. And if you can possibly support this ministry, boy, do we ever need it. Someone gave us a matching gift of $100,000. As soon as we get there, we get that money. But it is a matching gift, a real live matching gift. We need your help, and you can do that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Talk to Linda from Pittsburgh, listening on WORD. Hi, Linda. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
You know what? My battery is low on my phone, so I'm going to try and talk fast.
Okay.
Here's my question and my problem. I am my husband's second wife. His first wife passed away. Hmm. And every year on the anniversary of her death, it's like he goes through part of the grief cycle again, but the part he goes through is always the anger. And for some lucky reason, I'm the one that gets blamed all the time. Mm-hmm. I pray for him, and I pray for wisdom, but I just don't know how to help him and how to help him through this. I mean, my heart breaks for him, but it's putting it's dividing us in our marriage as well, because he won't admit that he's in the anger stage.
Yeah. How long was he married to her?
I think it's 24 years.
And how long has he been married to you?
Only 4 years.
How many?
Four.
4 years.
Okay. Yes.
So you're seeing a man that hasn't fully grieved the loss.
Well, and Linda, how long in between her passing away and your marriage?
Only a year.
Which is really common.
For men.
Yeah, for men. Yeah. Yes, really common for men to remarry quickly.
And is that a good thing?
No, not a good thing, because the grieving was incomplete.
Right. It's happening in the marriage instead of in between, which the hard part is for you, Linda.
Yeah, but how do I help him, or do I do anything besides pray?
No, I think there's two things you could do. Number one, you need to realize that we tend to promote to sainthood people who have passed away.
Right.
So sainthood means that you can take this person that you're not living with any longer and you can elevate them to almost perfection. In other words, he could have this idealized picture of what she was.
And right.
And living people can't really compete with that.
And living people just can't compete with that, see, because we bring reality into life as opposed to a deceased partner is a fantasy at this point, you see.
Right.
And then number two, you need to be able to say to him, I will not be your lightning rod. And you need to tell him, no more will I tolerate you being angry with me. I am not the problem here. And you need to set a firm boundary and tell him, no. But you can empathize with his heart and say,
okay,
if you want
to
grieve with me and be sad, I will stay with you all day long. But I will not tolerate you being angry at me, and I won't be your lightning rod for your anger.
And I'm sorry that I'm not her.
And I'm sorry I'm not her.
But I will never be.
Can you say those things, Linda?
You know what? I have said that part of it in the past. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that she's not here anymore, and I'm sorry that you're stuck with me.
Oh, that's how it feels, doesn't it?
And what does he say to you when you say something?
Nothing.
Like,
she doesn't say anything back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's very hurtful because you're the one that's living. You're the new wife that can't, like we said, can't compete with her. But what?
I said right.
Yeah. But again, her dying, you had nothing to do with. So he's not stuck with you. It's a new chapter of his life, and he doesn't know how to close the old chapter and embrace the new one fully. Right? So I think the boundaries are a good idea. I might even, on the anniversary of her death, I might leave. That would be a day I'd go out with my girlfriends or something. And, you know, if he needs to be angry and kind of have that time.
Or you plan a week away from him It might actually get him into the grieving process if he doesn't have you to yell at, and so he doesn't have anybody to be angry at, so he has to be sad,
right.
And then right. maybe there's some help there.
And I would not right. take the "I'm sorry, you're stuck with me" mode.
No,
I mean that
no.
is way too victim-like.
I'd be saying, he's not stuck with you. He's lucky to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be saying, "I'm sorry, I'm stuck with your unresolved grief here. That's really pushing us apart."
All right.
Okay.
Call
Thank
his bluff.
You for your help. Really
Call his bluff
it.
And push back. Call his
yeah.
bluff. Mm-hmm. Don't
right.
just sit
yeah.
and take it.
All right.
Well, I'm gonna send you How We Love. I hope that'll be a blessing to you there. But as we close out the program, I want to read a verse that I think applies to you and to many people that call us, and it's out of 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a common verse. Most people know this. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And you know, here's an example. When she is acting out of fear and timidity, she's saying things like, "Well, I'm sorry, you're stuck with me." But when she refuses to be afraid, when she trusts God with everything and says things unlike that, she has power. And she shows a person with self-discipline, and it truly is the most loving thing she can do for him, rather than kind of put herself in a place of weakness and victimization.
Well, if weakness is not attractive, but strength is.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And you're more attractive if you have firm boundaries, and the person knows, I could lose you, or you could walk away from me. You mean you don't desperately need to cling to me? That's a different place.
Well, this is one of those verses that's definitely worth memorizing. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's the New Living Translation of that. We want you to have power and love and self-discipline. And if it isn't in your life, we want to help you with a New Life Weekend. We have a Wives in the Battle conference, a Healing is a Choice, and we have Lose It for Life. And next year we'll have a Marriage conference. And so all of these things are designed to transform the mind. And when a person's mind is transformed from stubborn resistance to willingness, or arrogant entitlement to willingness, or justifiable resentment to willingness to get help and do the thing that needs to be done, things really can change. So I hope that you, in your situation, might evaluate the level of willingness that you communicate to your partner. And if it's not much, then there's an area to work on right there. Lord, make me willing. Bring me to that point where I'm willing to do whatever it takes for this relationship to get better, or for me to grow closer to you, or for me to begin to grow as a Christian and as a person. That's what we want to see happen for you. Now, if you need some help, you just call us, and that help may come in the form of a resource, one of our perspectives, a New Life perspective, a CD on a particular subject that we do. It could be a book that one of us has written, or some of our resources aren't from things that we have written. But there is a resource for you. It could be one of our over 900 counselors that are committed to Christian counseling. Or it could be a weekend. I don't know what it is, but you'll never know what it is that could turn this situation around unless you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We need your support. We need your help. We always look forward to the close of summer and getting through August, because summer is so difficult for support. But you could come along and fill in for someone who went on vacation and forgot to support New Life. You, maybe God is urging you to join Club New Life. And if you do, we'll send you a wonderful gift, our way of saying thank you for being part of the New Life Giving family. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Thanks for being with us. Thanks, Mylon. Thanks, Jill. And all of you, God bless you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Have a great day.
For listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.